Herzlich willkommen zum NLP Online Kongress Neue Lebensperspektiven. Nutze dein Hirn beherzt. Mein Gast heute hier ist Shelley Rose Charvet. Shelley ist Kanadierin und sie lebt inzwischen die Hälfte des Jahres in Berlin. Und ich freue mich sehr, dass ich sie für diesen Kongress gewinnen konnte. Und auch wenn sie inzwischen schon ziemlich gut Deutsch spricht, führen wir dieses Interview doch noch auf Englisch. Shelley ist neben vielem anderen seit vielen, vielen Jahren zertifizierte NLP-Trainerin. Weltberühmt ist sie allerdings vor allem für ihr bahnbrechendes Buch Wort sei Dank, auf Englisch Words That Change Minds. Hier stellt sie das Lab-Profil vor, eine auf den Metaprogrammen des NLP basierende Methode, die es ermöglicht, mit anderen Menschen tieferen Rapport herzustellen und ein besseres Verständnis füreinander zu entwickeln. Shelleys zweites Buch, und nein, schon wieder ein Kunde, wird vor allem von Verkaufsprofis genutzt. Ziel ist es hier, ein besseres Verständnis für die tieferen Bedürfnisse des Kunden zu entwickeln, um einerseits natürlich die Verkaufszahlen zu beiderseitiger Zufriedenheit zu steigern und andererseits Kundenabwanderung zu vermeiden. Shelley unterstützt seit vielen Jahren weltweit Menschen dabei, ihre tägliche Kommunikation zu verbessern und besonders beliebt sind auch Shelleys Top-Tipp-Videos. Aktuell hat Shelley gemeinsam mit ihrem Lebensgefährten eine Software entwickelt, Libretta, die in der Lage ist, zu dekodieren, wie Menschen denken, was sie motivieren und wie sie Entscheidungen treffen. Herzlich willkommen, Shelley. Welcome, Shelley. I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, danke.
Shelley, as I told you before, my first question here to everyone is, when did you come across NLP and what happened?
I was a communication trainer working for a French training company based in Paris. And my boss and I heard about this wonderful thing called NLP in 1982 or 1983, I'm not quite sure. And we took the second practitioner ever given in France by Josiane de Saint-Paul and Alain Carroll in NLP. And actually, a very funny little story, as all students of NLP realize, is that you learn about visual, auditory, and kinesthetic at the very beginning. But we were in Paris. So someone, of course, had to ask the question, what about olfactory and gustatory? We're in Paris. And Alain, the trainer at the time, said, well, you know, those senses are not very highly developed in America. So I killed myself laughing. There was one other American who is today a very well-known trainer in France, Jane Turner. She and I turned to each other and we just killed ourselves laughing because that would be a French view about America.
So the training was in English. It wasn't in French.
No, the training was in French. So I did all of my early NLP training, my first practitioners, my first master practitioners, and my first trainer's training in French.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. So. Okay, Shelley, and my second question always is, what does NLP mean today to you?
Today, NLP is in a very, very exciting place. There are many forces working in many different directions. But the most exciting thing that's going on in NLP is that research and neuroscience is now supporting all of the things, or not all of the things, many of the things that we believe to be true as we've learned the basics in NLP. And there's actual NLP research being done. In fact, a big project that's being sponsored by the NLP Research and Recognition Organization in America has just gotten a huge amount of funding to continue the work that they're doing with American veterans who have come back from Afghanistan and Syria and Iraq, and they have post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Well, NLP protocols originally developed by Steve Andreas and added onto by another of people are now being recognized. Now, they've had to call it something else because as soon as they mention NLP, there's another force in the universe going the other way. They find academics who then criticize NLP and say it's a pseudoscience. And so what they've had to do is talk about the protocol itself in order to get funding. But very soon, we hope to be able to see NLP being recognized for a lot of the things that it's been able to do. And I strongly encourage people to support and to encourage the NLP recognition, research and recognition project. In fact, we would like everybody that's involved in NLP to donate €5 or $5 to help keep funding for NLP based research going. So that's very exciting to me.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Hopefully they will make really good progress. And well, it would be great if in the end they could say, well, and actually it has been NLP.
Right. And that's where they're heading. And it has to be managed, as you can imagine, very carefully.
Yeah. I imagine. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So, Shelley, as I told in my introduction, you are the one who wrote the book about the lab profile.
That's right. I am the queen of lab profile. It is a self-given title, but this has been my livelihood for over 30 years. I don't even want to count how many years. But this seems to me, this very practical application of metaprograms can do so many different things. And I have spent my career using NLP, other applied psychologies, and particularly lab profile to help people get better at understanding other people and predicting and influencing my own behavior, our own behavior, and other people to have a more positive impact in the world. And the lab profile is an incredible tool. So I'm very enthusiastic about it, but it's I think it's worthwhile for everyone to try out for themselves.
Can you give me an example of how the lab profile helps me to predict other people's behavior?
Absolutely. When your ears and your eyes are tuned to listening to the patterns, for example, patterns that are very well known in the NLP community are what we call toward and away from. And this is not about having a positive or a negative attitude. I think in German we say hinzu and weg von. Mm-hmm. It's about the direction of movement that someone makes. So if you hear someone saying, well, we want to avoid this problem because it has really hurt us and we want to make sure that never happens again, it means that what you can understand about that person in that situation is that the biggest motivation for them is to prevent, avoid, or solve, in other words, to move away from mm-hmm. the things they don't want. And it means for us to have an impact, we need to stop using goal-oriented language, like you could accomplish this. Here's a benefit for you to try this method, and it will be advantageous to you because you will gain more understanding, your life will be easier, and you'll probably do better business. That language that talks about what you will achieve or the benefits doesn't work when someone is in an away from mode. So what you would need to say instead would be something like, well, this method I am proposing to you will help you avoid this problem and prevent it in the future so that you don't have to deal with these negative consequences anymore. Mm-hmm. And so just adjusting your language will help you get people to understand what you're saying better. And it's what we call, what I like to call bus stop communication. So if I'm trying to communicate with somebody, I want to go to their bus stop and from their bus stop, invite them on the bus. Can't make them come on the bus. I can only invite them and then help them go somewhere that's useful for both themselves and myself. And the lab profile gives you these triggers. And one of the most interesting things about this profile is it's not about personality. We all do all of these different patterns. It's being able to understand when someone is in these different modes. And one of the differences between the lab profile and the standard NLP metaprograms is that it's not about identity, it's about context. And the lab profile has a really clear methodology so that you can ask a question, understand the triggers, and then know exactly what to say or what not to do or say to have the impact you want. So it's a very rigorous methodology.
And so what you're saying is it depends on the context. I'm not all the time away from. So I might be towards in one situation and away from in another.
That's exactly right. And I know in standard NLP, we often hear people say, well, I'm internal or I'm external. And to me, it makes no sense because my question would be, where, when, and with whom do you go into internal? Mm-hmm. And where do you do external? Like, if you care about what someone thinks, you've switched into external mode, right? So yeah. I care what you think, and therefore you'll have an impact on me. A resource that I can send you and that people can download is I wrote an article, and it's in German, about the difference between meta programs, the standard NLP meta programs, and the lab profile. So you can actually do a comparison and see where the differences are in terms of approach, et cetera. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. I'd love to have that. Yes, of course. So now we've got we've had the example of internal, external, and towards and away from. And give me some more examples, please.
Okay, I just love these patterns. Another example, and this is the third pair that we actually measure in our new software, Libretta, is the difference or the scale between options and procedures. And options is when you're in a mode to want lots of choices, variety, many alternatives. And one of the most delicious things you can do when you're in an options mode is to break the rules. Whoa, or bend the rules. Now, you go, no! It means you're not in an options mode, right? So it's one way to test. Like if I say, let's break the rules, and you salivate, that means you're in an options mode.
Yes.
And then the other one is procedures, when you are motivated. Remember, these are motivation triggers to follow a standard logical step-by-step process. And the motivation there is to complete any process that you start. So you can see that if someone in a options mode likes to start many projects, and then they start other projects, they're not really motivated for completing and finishing. And it's really helpful to have them work with people who love to complete and finish. And of course, it being contextual, you can see that it'll be different times. But if in my experience, the most successful trainers, consultants, and professional speakers have a good chunk of procedures in their work context. They like to complete and finish things, because if we stay in options too long, we're very creative, but we never get the benefit of our creativity because we're not implementing things. We just get another idea. So we get one idea, and we work really hard on it, and then we get another idea. And so you actually need to implement things in order to get the benefit of them. And this applies to sales. If you're talking to a customer about working with you, let's say you're a trainer or a consultant, and your customer is in a very options mode, well, what else have you got? How else would this work? You know, all those how else, what else, where else questions. And we know that they're living in a world of possibilities. They're not committed yet. And we know that when customers are ready to buy, they switch out of this options mode into a procedures mode. And you can find out if they're ready. Simple question. You say, are you ready to look at the next step? The next step, that's procedures language. So next step. If they say yes, they've already decided it's yes in their head. They may not be consciously aware of that, but you can pick that up. So, but if they say, well, not quite ready yet, I want to look at some more alternatives, just means they're in the exploratory phase of the buying procedure. And so give them more options and then test again if they're ready to go to the next step. And make sure you know what the next step is for the purchase, right? So that's how that shows up in even one conversation.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, makes sense. So when I hear this, I think NLP is a very optional technique.
You know, you're absolutely right. If I were going to guess a couple of the standard triggers that a lot of people in the NLP community have, it's this options, like to explore alternatives and break the rules, and difference. And difference is about being attracted to what's new and what's not the same as before. And so if your market is full of people who like NLP, using language of possibilities and newness is very attractive to them. So that's for sure. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. And but in Germany, sometimes I think we need an away from language as well to get people to the NLP idea, because I'd say that German culture is more an away from culture than maybe the American one.
Yeah. Being a Canadian and also British, I would agree with that. I mean, I spend a lot of time in Germany, and if you have an idea, chances are someone in the room is going to say, das geht nicht, and tell you why it won't work. And it is very important to master the away from language, but not only in Germany, in many cultures. America tends as a culture, at least in a general fashion, to have a more toward outlook on life. I mean, recent politics make people fearful and they want to move away from things. But if you really want to have a compelling argument to get someone to do something, the ideal is what I call the divine formula, and that is problem solution. Here's an issue that you want to get away from. Here's a solution to that. So it sets up movement away from one thing and towards another thing. So that's almost like a generic process. Like, that's why I call it the divine formula, because it engages people. If you find the problem that drives them crazy, then you can offer a solution to it. And if you don't talk about the problem, you don't necessarily engage. I'll give you an example. A company I know that is does all kinds of personal development in the States, and they also sell meditation courses, and at one point they were selling vitamins and nutritional supplements. Vitamins and nutritional supplements. Yes, so once women reach a certain age, they take their vitamin C, they take their this, I'm now at this age, I spend a lot of time taking nutritional supplements. Well, they were selling their nutritional supplements based on the benefits. This will make you feel younger, you'll have more energy, blah, 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 blah. And they weren't gaining sales. And when I talked to them, they realized that unless they went to the bus stop of their client, this is my terminology, and talk about, well, are you tired? Mm-hmm. Are you suffering from low energy? And talk about the problem first and then the solution, it was a much more effective sales strategy for them. But think about it. Problems are urgent.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, if it bugs you enough, you need to solve it now. But as an opportunity or a benefit may not be urgent.
Sounds very logical.
Yeah, so the divine formula is away from and then toward. Mm-hmm. Problem, solution.
Yes, and if I remember well, you've got a solution for women in business.
Oh, I'm so happy you talked to me about it. I am right now, I'm very involved in completing the creation of a program. I have founded an institute. We're in the process of setting up our website, et cetera, called the International Institute for Influence. And we are creating, with my business partners, an online program for communication and influencing for women professionals. And it's called the Advanced Business Communication Diploma Program. 6 months, 15 minutes a day. My secret goal is that women should take over the world, and we need help. It's time. We need thinking women who understand the process, and we need to get better at strategic communication. I mean, if we were already good at this as a gender, we'd already have sufficient women in top levels of government, which Germany has, but also business and industry and other organizations. So this is a program to help people, to help women particularly, have more confidence and more influence in their everyday communication. And it's like an MBA, only much more practical, because you get exact practical strategies 15 minutes a day. 10-minute video, an action step, some supporting resources, a supportive community, to help people get to the top of the mountain where they can actually make a difference. And you know what? I think our world needs more women leaders now. I think it's a desperate need now.
I think so too. So tell me how you help them.
So what we're helping them do is think strategically about their communication. So it's a whole learning program over 6 months. And with really practical examples. Like, one of the things that I just happened this week, I was discussing this program with someone, and they said, well, you know, I never really learned how to deal with people who are competitive with me on my team. Like, I always thought there would be cooperation. And then this week, I read an article in the New York Times where they interviewed a number of women who didn't quite become the CEO. They got this level underneath, and they talked about their experience. And one woman said, I never learned how to fight. You know, I promoted people to come up into the executive suite, and then the next thing I know, they were stabbing me in the back. And like, I didn't understand this. And there's a big difference between how, and I'm making a generalization, and it doesn't fit all cases, between how men play the game and how women don't think about it as a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the same arena with people who are strategically playing a game, and you are busy doing really good work and concentrating as hard as you can on the task and not thinking about your strategy, then you find people get promoted above and around you. Well, you're going, hey, they didn't do half the work that I did. You know, and one thing that women do is they're incredibly cooperative. So if someone's boss comes up and says, hey, I'd like you to take on this extra responsibility, it'll be really good for your career, women tend to say yes. And they get no extra pay, no extra recognition, and nothing gets taken off their plate. They just have to work longer and harder. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that in this kind of situation, women tend to say yes rather than think about it. And another situation, apparently 80% of women do not negotiate their pay. They take what's offered. And about 80% of men do negotiate. Well, who gets more credibility? The person who just says, yes, thank you very much. Or the person who says, you know, I was expecting something better. Right? Who gets more credibility? So you can, just a couple of practical examples. I want people to zoom out and think more strategically. And then very practically, each video has an action step that's easy to do. So we're looking at people taking about 15 minutes every day over 6 months to transform their lives and their careers, whether they're in a business or whether they're in an organization and they have plans and goals. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought, yes, if I had this goal, this game metaphor, it would be obvious that I negotiate. But if I don't think of it like as a game, I think, no, this, I can't just do that. It's not
right. Well, and this affected me like last month. And I think I'm misstrategic, right? But if you're not consciously thinking about things, you fall into your well-known patterns and habits. So I'm used to be, up until recently, on the board of directors of an angel investor group in my home area. So this is a group of people who have some money and they want to support startups and entrepreneurship and innovation. And we get together as a group of people. And people come and propose, we call it pitching, their businesses to us. And we decide as a group who wants to and who doesn't want to invest in this company. And then usually we have skills amongst this group and we will actually help the company succeed, sit on their board of directors. If I've invested in a company, I'll help them with sales and marketing because we want them to succeed. Well, I had to step down from the board because I was traveling too much. And at our big gala, last month, two people stepped down from the board. One was the board of directors head, the president, and then myself. And the person saying thank you to us listed all of the achievements of the board of directors head. And then she said, and Shelley had to step down because of her travel requirements. It was too much for her. She couldn't participate anymore. And I thought, wait a minute. I have accomplished a whole list of things on this board, but she didn't say any of that. So the credibility I could have had in that forum, well, Shelley, I helped them with a survey and I used the lab profile. And as a result, we changed the structure of our meetings to accommodate the below conscious needs. I did a whole pile of different things like that using my skill set. But because I hadn't made it obvious, like, I mean, we don't think about this. I did it. I just thought automatically I would be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wrong. It's a very female way of thinking. What I should have done, and this is what I recommend to people, every 3 months, stop what you're doing and write what you have accomplished. And then think about, who do you need to send this to? Who needs to see this? And then, of course, you need to figure out how to say this without bragging, without going, blah, 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 blah. But to let people know that you did contribute. So if they're thinking around who deserves a promotion, your information is there. So I said this to a couple of people that I was talking to, and the man in the couple said, well, of course you would do that. Why wouldn't you do that? And the woman said, oh, gee, that's a good idea. So I went, yes, we didn't think about this.
Here we go again, yeah.
Here we go again, right? And these habits are unconscious. And the whole point of my program is for us to be aware, yes, and make choices. You don't have to become a man, but wouldn't it be useful to know what's going on around you and to decide how you wish to be in that environment with regards to your goals, what you contribution you want to make, et cetera. So I'm really excited about this program, and it's going to be launched hopefully soon. And I can send people the information on where they can get more information about it too. So
Yeah. Sounds very interesting. Thank you. But you told me this is one of your project, and there's another one about sales.
Yes, that's right. So I'm obsessed with Lab Profile. So we just know I'm obsessed. Take it as an obsession. It's a disease that I enjoy having. And so the second project is with also with a student of mine who is an international sales trainer. And as you know, programs are going online. Companies are demanding everything online or blended learning solutions. And so we have designed a portal. We're using a learning portal designed for independent sales trainers who know they need to offer blended learning solutions, so partly live, partly online, and they don't have the resources to create high-quality blended learning. So with Andreas Frienegger from Austria, in German and in English, we have created a series of very short Lab Profile for Sales Professionals videos and quizzes and other resources that independent sales trainers can use as a standalone product or as part of their live training to continue with that, or they can sell it as a self-study program. And the point is they can increase their revenue and their value to their customers. So it's a membership site, so we'll have lots of opportunities to work together as international sales trainers, both in English and in German. And each member will have a co-branded site within our site where they can offer these videos and other resources to their clients under their name, under our banner, so that they can up their value. So we're not doing things that are standard sales. We're doing the area that we have unique skills in that are very highly valued. So the Lab Profile sales material, it doesn't teach you the basics of how to create rapport or how to prospect. It teaches you the advanced things you need to know once you've mastered the basics. And so sales trainers will have an opportunity to integrate this material, and we'll train them and certify them to become Lab Profile sales trainers, certified sales trainers. And then they can offer this material, increase their revenue, and increase their value to their customers. So that's coming. All the videos for the first level have been created and edited, and now we're working with the platform to make sure all the other things get on. So I don't know when this video is coming out, but we can give you the website so you can check out what's going on.
So this video today is coming out in October, in the first 2 weeks of October. I don't know the exact date now. So maybe you're ready by then.
Could be.
Okay. So. Shelley, the third thing you told me is Libretta.
Yes. And Libretta came out of a challenge that I was having. And I think many of us know that when we're having a challenging situation, we can't continue doing what we've been doing before. And this was quite a few years ago, and I sat my two brothers down and said, look, I can't, my body is saying, Shelley, you cannot keep up all this international travel. I was having a number of health consequences and some autoimmune problems. And I said, I need to find another way to earn a living. And we brainstormed, and the idea that we came up with was to automate me. So what is it that I do? Well, I like to decode and understand people's language and behavior to get a better idea of what they're doing and what they need to do to be more successful. And so we ended up devising and creating And we worked with the German Center for Artificial Intelligence, DFKI, and their computational linguists to develop a piece of software that identifies how people think, how they get motivated, and how they make decisions. And what we can measure is away from toward, internal, external, options and procedures automatically in text. And I'll give the link to our website, and people can put in some text and get it analyzed. Now, it only works in English, but I did an experiment. I was teaching lab profile in Avignon, en français, and somebody said, well, why don't we try using Google? And Google Translate is getting better and better. So we took a French language email, put it into English, put it in the tool, and the analysis was accurate. I know, because I can read French and English and I can analyze. Mm-hmm. So perhaps between German and English, it's also accurate. So people can get immediately in an email back to them an analysis of what was motivating the person when they wrote that text or when they wrote that email. And we have received two U.S. Patents for this software. And we're going through a process now of deciding what to do with it. We're capable of reading hundreds of Twitter feeds and identifying what's dominant in someone's Twitter feed. So, but imagine this, for example, if you were marketing a program or marketing a product and you understood what someone's dominant pattern on Twitter was and you did a marketing blast, you could have several versions of your marketing material adjusted for these different motivation triggers. Right? So that you could actually speak someone's language. Now, of course, lots of people are going to say, that's evil! It could be evil. This is true. And I think we all have to be very careful about how we use powerful tools like NLP, because NLP and lab profile can be used to manipulate people. So I think that that is a danger. But I think in the meantime, if you know that you have something important to offer people that meets their needs, this is going to help you speak in their language as opposed to your natural way of talking. So
yeah, it makes sense. Yes, of course, it's like everything that works can be dangerous as well.
That's right. And I think manipulation is a short-term strategy. If your goal is to have good, positive, trustful, long-term relationships, and you do things that create suspicion. I mean, all of us have been manipulated, and maybe we didn't know what happened, but sooner or later we go, oh, something happened, and you don't trust someone after that. So I think that's one of the things that people need to think about. Manipulation is a short-term strategy. It's not, your life doesn't get easier when you're manipulative. And my definition of manipulation is where you push someone towards something that is not in their best interest. Right. And everyone gets to decide from themselves what is in their best interest. So for me, that's a big difference between influencing and, oh, there goes my phone. Excuse me. Voila. C'est la vie. Oh, now my iPad is also talking to me. And Lord knows how many other Geräte in the corner. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there's three or four Geräte yelling at me now.
Yeah. When you're talking about manipulation, it reminds me that you've got something to say about credibility and talking to skeptical people.
Yes. I'm just going to go turn that off.
Yes, please.
No, it turned itself off. Okay. So that reality is intervening in our little model of the world here. You know, one of the challenges in the world in communication is, look at me, I'm so excited about the projects I'm working on. Well, the other people I'm talking to are not necessarily excited about it. In fact, the more enthusiastic you are, the more skeptical some other people can become. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. At a below conscious level, if I'm enthusiastic, it's as if I'm telling someone else what to think. So if a friend says, you have to see this movie, you're totally going to love it. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. But do you want that person to decide what your opinion is going to be? And so enthusiasm can be done in a way which is inviting the other person to decide, or it can be done in a way that's really too much. And so one of the programs, one of the MP3s, and this is also a presentation and a workshop that I give, is called presenting ideas to skeptical people. And the formula is really important. We need to understand what is the main message that we want to get across to a group of people. Like, what is it that I'm trying to get them to buy into? And then we need to go to their bus stop and think, well, what might their objections be? Mm-hmm. So I just did an example of that. I talked about how powerful libretta could be in terms of helping marketing. And then I went, I wonder what objection people would have. Well, that's manipulation. So I spoke to the objection. So there's a four-step process in presenting ideas to skeptical people. And the first two steps are be aware of what your main message is. And the second step is identify what the possible objections are. And then you mention those objections. Right. So those, and that helps people go, well, she understands how I think.
Yes.
And that's a good way of getting credibility for your ideas. I have no problem with being enthusiastic, but not the kind of enthusiastic that says, you must think like I do. Like, I love to be enthusiastic. Maybe I am American. I don't know. Canadians aren't that enthusiastic normally. I'm kind of loud for a Canadian.
Yeah. So, and if I say those objections myself, the other one won't say them anymore.
That's correct, because what you've done when you say the objections, you have honored the other person's point of view,
mm-hmm.
and they feel understood, and you get more credibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah. Yes.
You know, in NLP, we've done a lot to teach about rapport. Well, I've kind of added another level to that, because rapport is very important, and also credibility, and I think they're different things. Rapport is, do I feel like we have a bond and some kind of closeness, and there's many ways to define that. Credibility is, do I believe what you say? Do I trust you? Do I think you're an expert in what you say you're an expert in? Okay. And this is really important in the world of work.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And what do I have to do apart from taking into account the objections of the other to be very credible in my behavior?
So there's two kinds of credibility. One is what I call instant credibility, and the other one is over the long term.
Okay.
So instant credibility is a combination of verbal and nonverbal technique,
mm-hmm.
and you need to be authentic about it. You need to believe it. Michael Grinder, who is the older brother of one of the founders of NLP, John Grinder, Michael Grinder has done a lot of work in nonverbals, and he talks about two nonverbal communication styles. One is approachable, where you do a lot of head movements and you're sweet and you're kind and you go up on the end of your sentences. That's approachable, right?
Yeah, I know.
And then there's credible, straight eye-to-eye contact, symmetrical gestures. Your voice is more monotone, except at the end of your sentences, where your voice tone goes down at the end of your sentences. So that's an example of credible nonverbals, tone, body language. And then I would add to that the lab profile language for people who are internal. So if someone is in an internal mode and they want to decide for themselves, you cannot say things like you should, you must, this is the best way. They don't like that. So you use language of what I call the language of suggestion or invitation. And you say, this is what I think. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Here's my recommendation. What do you think about that? And you use credible tone, credible body language, and you invite people to decide for themselves. Right? That's the instant credibility model. And you stand like you believe you have something valuable to offer and use language for someone who's in internal mode. So that's the instant credibility. Long-term credibility is what I call the say-do strategy. If you said you were going to do it, you got to do it. And you do it over and over again. So if you even say, I might, you need to realize that the other person took it as a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So say do. If I said I was going to do it, I need to deliver on time. Right? And that helps with long-term credit. Doesn't that make sense? Do you think that makes sense?
It makes a lot of sense, yeah. I mean, I really like people that commit themselves.
Well, and then you get a feeling that you can rely on them. They are reliable. They're trustworthy, right?
Yeah. And I love it. I mean, I'm reliable, I'd say. But I know that I'm not immediately credible because I'm more like
You're nice, right?
Yes, I'm so nice. I think I should be credible as well, but yes.
Okay, but I wouldn't, my recommendation, and I'll listen to my language, my recommendation, and you decide if it's appropriate, would be not to use credible language all the time because it has a problem. It's boring. Langweilig. Alert. Attention. Achtung. Langweilig. Alert. I mean, the worst thing you could do to people is to put them asleep.
Yeah, definitely. Right?
You know, if someone asks me to present at a conference for a company and the chief financial officer presents before me, I'm happy because whatever I do looks good after the numbers, right? And all the financial reports, right? Everybody's asleep. And then I come on and they wake up. So I'm very happy about that. So not too much. But imagine that your key messages, you slow down, eye-to-eye contact, you make your voice tone very even, and you pass the message congruently and credibly. Notice the drama, the difference, when you mark out what's really important. And for those of us who are coaches, trainers, consultants, and speakers, it's important to manage how you vary your voice tone and your body language in order to help you get your message across to the people that are listening to you.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the rest of the time, you can just have fun. Yeah.
Okay. That's the easy way.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Shelley. So is there anything important you want to say to make a conclusion before we end?
I think that we have a lot of challenges today that we haven't had before. Just today I said, boy, when George W. Bush was in power in America, doesn't it now seem that life was simpler and problems were simpler to deal with back then? And I think life is becoming more complex, and at the same time, opinions are becoming simpler. Right, wrong, good, bad. Hmm. I hate you, and a lot of polarization. I also see this in Germany, and I think that now is the ideal time for us as NLP people to use our skills, to keep on learning our skills, because the world needs us now. And my challenge that I've made to myself and I make to everyone, how can you be of help? Mm-hmm. And have fun and make your living at the same time and do all those kinds of things, because I think the world needs us more now. So that would be my last thought. But don't stop having fun. Please, let's have fun. Can I tell you one more last thing? That is kind of fun. Not all of our programs and things are serious. We made an iPhone app with my husband in our software company, and it's called, not everyone's going to like this, it's called Husband Motivator, all one word. And it is a lab profile app. A lot of coaches actually use it, and it does more than just motivate your husband. A lot of coaches are using it to help people with their communication issues, mm-hmm. because it uses the lab profile methodology that I developed. So you think about a person, you identify the context that you're thinking about them. There's a question process to identify their lab profile triggers, and then a formula for helping motivate or influence them. So that's an iPhone app, and that's something that people can try out. Sorry, we don't have it in Android yet, but it's at least available. And it's a very fun app. It's silly. There's stupid videos by me in it to lighten it up a bit. So I think we can be of help and still have fun.
That's a good point. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So this has been fun too. And if anybody has any questions, please email me. I'm happy to answer. Tell me where you heard of me from. So if you watch this, let me know so I have an idea, if I remember what I actually said and what the interview was about.
With all those interviews, yeah. Thank you very much, Shelley.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ingrid.
Thank you.
Bis gleich.